This year, Apple wants to make a big impression with its AI efforts, and we're starting to get a peek as to what we could expect, and it starts with Apple's chips. We're talking about the upcoming A18 Pro and the M4 chips and Apple's plans in this episode of the Macworld Podcast. Stick around. Welcome to the Macworld Podcast. I'm Roman Loyola here with Jason Cross.
Good morning.
And Michael Simon.
Hello, sir.
So we're starting to hear more about Apple's hardware releases for the second half of this year. One thing in common about all these reports is that they have a heavy AI influence to them. So recent reports say that Apple's new generation of chips, the A18 and the M4, will have enhanced AI capabilities. The most recent report that we got was about the M4, Mark Gurman from Bloomberg. He basically laid out Apple's schedule of Mac releases for the M4, starting with the base M4, I guess this fall? He said the later half of 2024.
Yeah, it sounds like around the time the M3 came out, which was October. It was Halloween, actually. They did that scary fast event. That was on Halloween. So it sounds like a similar timeline, which you know, we've kind of talked about for a while that Apple got kind of screwed up by the pandemic and this rollout of Apple Silicon. And the idea, presumably, is to have it on a very set, regimented schedule, much like the iPhone and the A series chips.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, an M4 rollout would start with the M4 and the products that use it this fall, and then you'd get your M4 Pros and Max and Ultra and stuff like that. And according to the rumor, throughout 2025, it would get the rest of the things, including the Mac Pro and the Mac Studio, which are kind of off right now. They're on M2s, and you know, there's not. By the end of next year, all the Macs will be an M4 or something. That'd be nice to see.
And this M4 chip apparently is going to have enhanced AI capabilities. Now, there's not any specifics offered as to what that means. I'm assuming it's going to involve the neural engine in some way or another.
Jason could speak in much greater expertise about this, but the neural engine on the Mac doesn't really do much because Siri is very much an iPhone thing, and all the AI things that you do those more on your phone than the Mac. But like I said, Jason can correct me if I'm wrong, and I probably...
Well, maybe before Jason, you educate us, maybe we should back up first and say that Apple's chip series usually starts with the iPhone. So the A18 Pro would be the first chip that would come out. The M series is based on the A series chips.
Yeah, the architecture of them, the design of the cores and stuff like that tend to be, although it would not surprise me if as they move on, they're kind of designing these things in parallel to kind of come out in the same generation and have the Mac Silicon, the M series chips, not be architecturally a generation behind. It would make sense it takes years to design these chips, right? So at some point, and it's been years now since we had the M1, so it may be that as they're designing an architecture, they're like, okay, this is the iPhone version of this, and this is the M series version of this. And so we might see that where they kind of roll out more together. The M4 might be the same core architectures as the A18 for all we know.
I get confused because the A18 Pro is going to be in the iPhone 16
Pro, right? Yeah, it's confusing. Yeah, and the rumor is this year there may be an A18 non-Pro that will go in the iPhone 16s, which is not what we've been doing so far. We've had the iPhone 15 Pro has an A17 Pro, but the iPhone 15 non-Pros have an A16. They don't have an A17 non-Pro chip. So, which we thought they would do that. We thought, oh, they're calling it Pro. That means the non-Pro phones will get a non-Pro chip, but they just got last year's chip like they had been doing. So who knows what's happening? It's a little confusing. But to speak to the neural engine, that's every chip now from NVIDIA and AMD and all these other guys, especially in laptops and stuff, have a dedicated block of silicon that is meant to do the sort of matrix operations that are used in machine learning inferencing stuff. Call it AI, call it machine learning, call it what you will. It's meant to run those things quickly and at low power. It's optimized for that. Apple's been doing it longer than most, maybe anybody in consumer products. I think it goes back to the A11.
The 10R was kind of like a version of that. So yeah, the iPhone 11 sounds right. Let me look it up quick.
There's the A11, I think, was the first neural engine from Apple. Saying it's going to get faster this time, it's been faster every year. Every year they talk about how the neural engine's faster. Unless it's like a huge leap. Yeah, of course the neural engine's faster this year. All the bits are faster. It's possible that they're just going to do a really big leap and try and do some stuff where you have to buy a new phone or a new Mac to do it. Like there's stuff in the new operating system where they're like, this is what you've got to do.
So just to correct, it was the A11 chip, which was in the iPhone 10 and the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus, all three of them.
They had the neural
engine. So that's when the neural engine first arrived, yeah.
All right. And as for whether they do much in the Mac, they do a lot of stuff that isn't what people today are thinking of AI as the generative AI stuff. They're not thinking of all the AI stuff that analyzes things. So it does a lot of the stuff it does on your iPhone. Your Photos app, for example, on your Mac does the same thing it does on the iPhone, where it goes through your whole photo library when your Mac is plugged in, but the screen's off and the Photos app is closed. It analyzes your whole photo library and finds all the objects and all the things in it and categorizes them so you can search by like cat or bottle or keyboard and just whatever and find all the pictures of them. Yeah, and all that stuff uses the neural engine. There is Siri on the Mac. I don't think people use it as much as they do on the iPhone, but it does a lot of the same things, especially now that you get timers and all that other kind of stuff. Honestly, just the voice to text recognition of Siri and then dumping it back out isn't that big a deal. But the on-device sort of language processing, the autocorrect and filling in additional lines, like the prediction, several words of prediction and stuff from the new language model, that's all happening on the Mac and stuff too. I just think that because it's got a keyboard and a mouse or a touchpad, trackpad, it's just not the kind of device where people use it as much. But all those pieces, all those things running under the hood are pretty much there on the Mac, and it'd be nice to see them do more.
There was a recent report by a tech analyst talking about the A18 chip and how it could have a larger die area. Could you explain, Jason, what that could mean?
Chips are manufactured on big silicon wafers, like a big disk of multiple layers of silicon and metal that is they're measured in millimeters, but you know, over a foot in diameter. You'll see pictures online all the time of people like holding them up. And the game is, and they call this yield, how many good chips do you get on a single wafer? Because the wafer printing one wafer is what costs money. The bigger the chips, the fewer you get on a wafer. And the more complicated the chips, the more likely it is that one of the chips can have a flaw in it that makes it non-usable. That's fewer chips per wafer. The chips on the iPhone chips have varied in size a lot. Not transistor count. I mean, like physical, this many millimeters by that many millimeters, like area. And my understanding of the A17 Pro is it's not terribly big. Now, Apple doesn't publish this stuff. It's like people have to tear it down and sand off the cover and like figure this stuff out or use CT scanners and stuff to figure these things out. The idea that it's going to be a physically larger chip, that's not unheard of at all. The size of iPhone chips has varied a lot over the years. They moved to a 3-nanometer process from the, quote, 4-nanometer, you know, of the A16. And they only increased the transistor count by a relatively small amount, from 16 to 19 billion, even though the chip's much more dense. So it probably went down. The die is probably smaller on the A17 than the A16, and it's probably just going to go back up. It's not a big deal. It's not the kind of thing where you just go like, oh my gosh, it's a bigger chip. They've never done that. This happens all the time. It goes up, it goes down.
Right. So that doesn't mean like they're going from three nanometers back to 4 nanometers. Like that, those are completely
unrelated. No, those are, I mean, it's related. If you want to do 19 billion transistors, if you have a manufacturing process where all the features are bigger, it's got to be a bigger chip to fit that many transistors. What it probably means is it's going to go up from 19 billion transistors. Also, they were on the very first 3-nanometer process, the version of it that from TSMC was like Apple was first. They have a more economically efficient version of that 3-nanometer process now that is supposedly a little bit less density. So even if it's the same amount of transistors, it might be slightly bigger, but a lot cheaper to manufacture, a lot less complicated. It's not the kind of thing that impacts your usage day to day. I'm currently in the middle of doing some research, like looking where we try to predict what we can expect from the next chip, the A18 Pro, and how it's gone over time. And it's just staggering how since the A11, our CPU performance and GPU compute performance, it's such a straight line. Like from 1 year to the next, it might be, oh, it's 15% this year instead of 12% or whatever. But like over time, it is incredibly regular. And it would be shocking if suddenly it was like the same performance as last year in some area like that. When it comes to what we can expect from Apple Silicon coming forward, the things that are going to make a big difference are the improvements to the neural engine and what they do with them in software, and things like video encoders and all those other kinds of things that speed up those tasks that take a long time for people, like editing videos.
With the A18 Pro chip and the neural engine and whatever other enhancements, do you think Apple will make some AI features exclusive to the phone with that chip because of the intense processing and everything else that it needs to do?
If it's just 50% faster or something, I mean, that's kind of what they've been doing every year. It keeps getting like the neural engine. It's 20% faster. It's 50% faster. It's whatever. And there's really nothing about that that makes it like this feature just can't run. Like this feature, instead of taking 1.5 seconds, it takes 1 second, right? To do the processing for this thing. Like that's the kind of difference. So unless it's a 4x improvement, an 8x improvement, unless it's some big leap in the neural engine thing, there's really no technical reason why it couldn't be. But we've seen Apple do that a lot, right? We've seen Apple a lot of times lock a feature to the new hardware where you're like, this could run on the old hardware. Like it would just be slightly slower, not even a lot slower, like a little slower. And why is night mode only on the new whatever something?
That's not even on the iPhone SE.
Right. They do it on a camera. Yeah. They do it on the camera stuff all the time and everything. So do they have to? I don't know. Some of that would depend on like how big of a leap is the neural engine in performance. It'd have to be a pretty big leap for them to have a technical justification why like this feature is only on our new. But are they going to do it? You betcha. I bet for sure there's going to be some AI feature that is only available on the new hardware. And we won't hear about it at WWDC because they don't talk about the new hardware until September. So we're going to hear about all this stuff at WWDC about the from iOS 18 and everything. And it's going to be awesome stuff that runs on today's iPhones. But then when they announce the new iPhones in September and the new Macs in October or whatever, one of the new features they're going to be talking about is some software AI thing that only runs on the new phone. I would put $20 on that, no problem.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Google did something similar with the Pixel phones and the Tensor G3 chip. So yeah, it's not all. I just wonder if, as you say, is it just an Apple marketing thing, or is it the capabilities of the chip will allow it only to run, you know, well on the new phones?
We won't really know until we know what the chips do. But there haven't been many leaps in the neural engine sort of processing capability. I'm trying to remember which generation it was, but there was a generation where it was substantially, it was like a, they said something like an 8x faster or something, which is ridiculous in real world performance. But there was a big leap somewhere, it was the A14 or something like that, where I could see them saying like, yeah, this only runs on this chip. And they've done some things like that, like the, I can't remember where the dividing line is, but there's a point at which you can't do the text selection within Photos. I can't remember which iPhones are cut off for that, but it's the neural engine's not good enough, or it doesn't have enough RAM or something, cache. I don't know. There's a point where there's a technical breaking point of that.
As we hear more talk about AI and chips and stuff like that, we've been hearing more terms like that refer to things such as edge AI and cloud AI. So as I understand it, edge AI simply refers to processing on device.
Yeah, pretty much on the consumer's device. I mean, technically when you chat with ChatGPT, it's running on a device. That device is a big server in the cloud, but it's not running. It's not like you can be in airplane mode and use ChatGPT because it's not running on your right. Now, some of the AI models, was it Meta's Llama model and stuff like that? They have these sort of cut down versions that can run in less RAM and can run completely on your device. You could just be completely disconnected from the network and they run. And hobbyists have been doing those things to run them on their Macs locally and stuff. They're just not as sophisticated. You don't get as good results. But yeah, that's what you would call edge AI processing. And it's Apple already does that on a lot of stuff. Like their whole transformer model for things like text prediction, for text to speech, reading stuff out loud to you, understanding what you say to it, a lot of Siri's results, anything that's not, doesn't need the internet, like weather, just asking stuff that it knows because it's on your phone, all that stuff works with no network connection. And Apple likes that because it's a good privacy story. The less data they touch, the less data they ever have to get subpoenaed for or have to encrypt or do anything with, right? It's just, it's on your device. It's on your device. And so I think that's Apple's priority in a lot of cases.
Converse of that, I don't know, converse is not the right word, but is cloud AI, and it's mm-hmm. pretty much what it sounds like, where the action is happening in the cloud.
Yeah, most of your image generation stuff, most of the big fancy language models like your ChatGPT-4, Microsoft's Copilot, all that stuff's happening in the cloud. It's all happening on a big server somewhere. These models are big. They're gigabytes big. You have to have a pretty powerful home computer and a pretty powerful GPU to have these things even fit in memory. There's a reason they run on the cloud besides just wanting to suck up all your data. They also still want to suck up all your data. You know, like I said, there's smaller, less sophisticated models that hobbyists and stuff have been able to run on their own machines. And that's where Apple's targeting a lot of this stuff. The rumor is all of the initial, and Mark Gurman said, initial features for iOS 18, all these AI features will run on device. That makes me think two things. One, Apple's going to play up a big privacy angle. Hey, this all runs on your device. Two, we're not going to see video generation as one of Apple's features, right? That stuff, getting that stuff to run on device, we're not even close. So there's a certain amount of like way sophisticated stuff we're not going to see. And three, saying initial features makes me feel like, oh, yeah, but like in iOS 18.3 or 18.4, there's going to be some feature, and it is going to be a cloud AI feature. And Apple's going to talk up like encryption and all this other stuff to make sure that it's safe and private.
We have not seen any reports in terms of what features will be included in iOS or macOS, the next versions. But yeah, it does seem like there's going to be a gradual rollout of these AI features.
Yeah, we heard some really vague things about features. New Siri, new more sophisticated Siri, features in Pages and Numbers and stuff like that to help you write paragraphs and, you know, make charts and stuff like that. These are things everybody else is already doing. And code generation for coders in Xcode. These are things that the rest of the world has. Apple kind of has to do them. And the question is going to be, how well do they do them? Because everyone else is already selling this. Like, you're already, Samsung's already wants to sell you an AI phone with AI features. Google has been doing the like circle and search things. They've been doing the magic eraser and stuff like that in Photos. And they're about to roll out some of those features for the iPhone, in the Photos app on the iPhone stuff. So,
but again, just like Jason was saying, Apple's hook will most likely be privacy, because Google, obviously, if it's on your iPhone, you're using Google's servers and everything that entails. Apple, you know, they're pushed in the last 3 to 5 years to separate themselves from, you know, the other phones that are really just as good, the Pixel, the Galaxy phones. Like, they're, you know, they're really good phones. But Apple has really pushed privacy as its main differentiator.
It's interesting because I think when it comes to this AI stuff and you look at all the people using it today, the millions of apps that generate avatars for you and, you know, from your photos and all this other kind of stuff, they don't seem to care that it's running in a cloud somewhere and that they're willingly uploading their photos and that they're sending in their questions and queries and commands and stuff. And it's being, nobody knows or cares, right? Apple can't just say, well, ours is on device and private. It has to be as good. If it's significantly worse, if it's noticeably worse, nobody's going to care that it's private, secure, and worse. They're going to use the cloud thing from somebody else.
Can you talk real brief about why it would be worse on device than versus a cloud?
Yeah, sort of like I just mentioned before, like these models are huge and require gobs of RAM and stuff like that. But there's these cut down versions of them that are smaller. Not just RAM, storage. Like, imagine you had enough RAM like for a large language model that takes up 20 gigabytes. Well, it means it also takes up 20 gigabytes of storage and RAM and all this other stuff. And there's multiple different models for image generation, models for image analysis, models for text-to-speech, models for speech generation, models for this, that. And they all get used together in a multimodal fashion. But like your phone just doesn't have enough RAM to devote 8 gigabytes just to the language model, right? So it's going to have to use some sort of cut-down version. A lot of the research Apple has been publishing lately has been about how to kind of slice up large language models into smaller chunks that can fit more easily in consumer hardware, like being used a bit at a time and swapped out and stuff like that. Like every trick in the book to like fit more sophisticated, bigger models into running on lesser hardware. And it's kind of what everyone's trying to do because they can't get enough NVIDIA H100s for their cloud servers. Like, it's cost a fortune. They can't buy them fast
enough. Energy and everything else.
Yeah. And just the hardware, they're like on waiting lists. So everyone's trying to get these things to run in less hardware. But the more RAM you have, the more GPU you have, the more power you have, the bigger, more sophisticated models you can run.
Apple literally published a paper in January called LLM in a Flash, Efficient Large Language Model Interference with Limited Memory. Like, they are working hard on this exact problem.
Yeah, if you read about that, it is the reason they're making that pun about in a flash and stuff is that they're storing the model
using flash memory
in flash and swapping out the bits of it as it gets used into memory and stuff. And it's, I mean, there's some clever hacks going on.
And this is where Apple's like decade plus, really 2 decades or decade and a half of chip development really can like kind of blow the lid off this industry here, because their chips, we'll get into the Mac chips in a few minutes, but they're incredibly efficient. Their CPUs are excellent. They've been using unified memory forever. Like they're at this stage now where they can use all these things that have been in place for, you know, 5-10 years, and we can really see like what these chips are capable of with this next gen AI stuff.
Yeah, it really does help, especially for AI training for people who are doing research and development of this and training and stuff. It helps that all the Macs use a chunk of memory that is very fast, and it's one chunk of memory that all pieces that the CPU, the GPU, the neural engine all have the same access to the same memory. You don't have to move it around. You don't have to like move it to the GPU's memory, do something, move it back so that the CPU can do an operation or whatever. You know, it's all in one thing, that kind of stuff. And being able to have a whole lot of memory. You know, 64 gigabytes, 128 gigabytes memory. That helps a lot, those sort of R&D type things. Getting the finished products to be able to be run and used in a phone is the next trick.
And I assume on the Mac side, the unified memory architecture that it uses is even better. Like that's kind of what you were just talking about, where it's all shared. All these components are shared.
Yeah, phones have been doing this for a while, but
right.
PCs not so much. And still on the Windows side, if you're doing AI stuff, you want a big beefy GPU. Well, that big beefy GPU has its own memory, and it's super 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 fast. It's way faster than the stuff on the Mac memory, but it's really only accessed by the GPU, and getting the CPU to access that memory is slow. Or requires moving stuff back and forth. And if you have dedicated neural engine hardware, right now those are on the GPUs, but if you were to buy some neural engine plug-in card or something and getting that to access it would be slow. So Apple does have an advantage in having their desktop computers, their big powerful desktop computers, have powerful neural engines and one big block of really fast unified memory.
According to Mark Gurman, Apple might be doing something with the chip design to take advantage of that. He reported that with the high-end desktops, which would be the Mac Studio and the Mac Pro, Apple is considering raising the RAM ceiling to 512 gigabytes. Right now, it's 192, which seems like a big jump in RAM. It's not just an incremental 192 to 256. It's more than double.
Yeah, it's huge. To be clear, even in super high-end 8K video editing and stuff like that, you do not need 192 gigs. That is aimed squarely at these people who do AI research and stuff, because before they're optimized and while you're doing these new multimodal model things and stuff like that, they can be tens of gigabytes. And growing. They grow exponentially. So for somebody to say, hey, I have a computer on my desk instead of a connection to a cloud server that has 200 gigabytes of like unified memory, the CPU, the GPU, the neural engine all have access to it. Boy, that's a dream come true for a lot of AI researchers. That's a very, very limited subset of like people who would buy that hardware. Apple's going to sell 10,000 Macs in the world ever that have like 200 gigs of RAM.
And it kind of gives the Mac Pro a reason to exist.
Yeah.
If that's what it's going to do, if it's going to position it as a super high-end AI
research
server machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Research machine. Yeah.
Jason, maybe you could speak to this. Would it even be possible for the Mac Pro for Apple to like make, AI accelerator cards for that device, or does the chip prohibit that kind of interoperability?
It's possible in the same way that they did what was the, they called it the Afterburner. It's possible they're doing that on PCs right now, where it slots into the M.2 slot, which is the same kind of slots you saw an SSD into. And they're putting these AI accelerator chips on those. The issue is how much bandwidth you have to that slot, whatever that slot is. And it's generally not as much as you would want to do really high-end AI stuff. It'd be good for low-end, energy-efficient AI stuff to do things like blur the background on your video call and stuff like that. But they've already got the hardware in the M series chip that's more than powerful enough to do that. It's not that it's not possible. It's that I don't know that it would be a big improvement in performance. They already use sort of the GPU to do when you're doing like AI training and stuff. They run on the GPU and sometimes the GPU and the NPU together. I don't know that Apple would ever make that product because I don't know it would be a big speed up by the time you account for like how much slower the memory access is going to a slot versus the direct memory access of the M4 Ultra or whatever, right?
Yeah, I was just wondering if maybe Apple could position the Mac Pro as an AI developer's dream machine kind of.
If they do, it's going to be because it's the only place to get like the M4 Ultra. Maybe there's no M4 Ultra on the Studio, and it's has more RAM and all this other stuff, and they can be like, look, it's got double the GPU, it's got two neural engines, it's got, you know, up to half a terabyte of RAM.
I mean, they did that with the M3 MacBook Air. They call it the best AI consumer machine or something like that. I forget what the wording was. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they kind of positioned the Mac Pro in that space. And also, I also wonder, like, as this continues, assuming AI is here to stay and it gets, you know, more and more powerful and requires more and more processing power and efficiency, are we ever going to reach a point where Apple licenses its chips to, you know, hardware makers because they're so much better than NVIDIA and AMD and whoever else is making Intel, whatever, whoever's making these chips? I wonder if we reach a point, you know, not this year and probably not for 5 to 10 years, if ever. But if they continue to do this, particularly on the efficiency side, I wonder if that's something that they would do.
That's the opposite of what's good for Apple.
Yeah, probably.
If the key is I have to get this chip, they make way more money selling you a Mac than selling somebody else the chip. We went through this before with software where Microsoft licenses Windows, right? And they make $100 for every license, or, you know, in bulk 80 or whatever it is. But you make way more than $80 selling a Surface laptop, like way more profit. That was the key, is that, you know, that's why Apple never licensed its operating system, even back when other people were doing Hackintoshes and stuff. Like, it was perfectly capable of somebody building an Intel-based machine that would run Mac OS. But Apple would never license it because if you want that Mac experience, not only for security and all this other stuff, but gosh, they make a whole lot more money selling you a computer than a software license. And so I think it would be the same thing. I think they would much rather say, no, buy a Mac. I feel like it's interesting where they're going with the new A18 Pro, if it's got much better AI capabilities, and the M series, and that's the Mac, and that's the iPhone and the iPad. But I'm interested in what they're going to do outside of those. Like, where are they going to build great AI into Apple TV? Where are they going to build it into HomePod? Are we going to see a new HomePod with a big neural engine in it to do really awesome AI stuff?
I mean, we haven't really seen that from any of the HomePod competitors, like the Echo, the Google, whatever it's called now. Like, they're simple.
Right, because it's all done on the cloud, like we were talking about. It's cloud processing. So really, they just need enough smarts to hear the trigger word and pick your voice out from the noise, translate it to text, and send that up to the cloud. But Apple doesn't want to do that. Apple wants to do all this private edge stuff and everything. So yeah, I'm curious about what the generation of products outside of iPhone, iPad, Mac mean in an AI accelerated future for Apple? Do we get new hardware? How's that hardware different? What features do they do for things that don't have screens or that have a different screen like Apple TV or that are purpose built like Apple TV? I'd like to see what's coming in that year. And I haven't heard much about it. And there may not be a lot at WWDC this year, but by next year, people are going to go, how come this feature or that feature or this AI thing isn't done all your other products, Apple?
That does it for this episode of the Macworld Podcast, episode 880. Thanks to Jason Cross.
Thank you.
Thanks to Michael Simon.
Thank you, sir.
And thanks to you, the audience. Thank you for tuning in. You can subscribe to the Macworld Podcast in the podcast app on Spotify or through any other podcast app. Do you have any comments or questions? Send us an email at podcast@macworld.com or contact us through X, that's at Macworld, or on Threads, that's at Macworld_HQ, or on the Macworld Facebook page. Join us in the next episode of the Macworld Podcast as we talk about the latest in the world of Apple. See you next time.